Healing with Raymond and Billy.
Healing with Raymond and Billy.
Healing with Raymond and Billy.
Healing
with Raymond and Billy. Hi.
Hi. What is this show we do? We do a show. It's called Healing with Raymond and Billy.
Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast. Hi, listeners. My name is Raymond. Hi, Billy James. How are you today?
Hi. I'm good.
Good. We are on episode six. The last episode was episode five, The Heart. And now we are moving into... The paired meridian for the heart is small intestine. This will be a 5-minute episode. No, it will probably be a little bit shorter, though. And that's fine. You know, it's asking a lot, I think, for y'all to listen to a whole hour of us sometimes. But you know, I do have a few things. And what's funny about the small intestine, I think, for me, is I actually use the small intestine a lot, but for sort of kind of just very specific things. And so we'll talk a little bit about, I guess, it's one of the four fire meridians. We kind of got started talking about the fire element in the last one. The small intestine, I feel like this is definitely an organ where it really differentiates even more so than Western and Eastern, because like you really don't use small intestine points to treat the small intestine ever, right? I mean, yeah, okay. I was like, I feel pretty confident saying that, but I'm glad that you agree with that.
Yeah.
But I do use the small intestine channel all the time for arm pain on the channel. So the small intestine meridian, it's an arm channel. So the last week, the heart started in the armpit and then it kind of went down the inner arm and ended on the pinky. So the small intestine starts at the pinky and then works its way up the back of the arm all the way up the shoulder. And then when it gets to your shoulder blade, it does this little like zigzag. It kind of looks like a heartbeat on the heart monitor. And then it comes up your neck. It dips in towards your cheek and then ends right sort of in the center of your ear, sort of, or like right, that little like strange, I forgot the technical term, but that little cartilage flap that's like right before your ear
hole.
Doohickey. Yeah, that's the technical term. that's the end of the small intestine channel. So I use that channel a lot for clearing any sort of stagnation and pain in the shoulder especially, but also the neck and arm and things like that. So it's really good to sort of use for just in that really simple body work way. And then the other sort of messaging that comes up, that what I learned about the small intestine meridian, is that it's the meridian for sifting and sorting. So that's the phrase that I think of. I know we've, we had like rottening and ripening were some of the other phrases, yep. And things like that. Mm-hmm. But so the sifting and sorting. So a lot of times I feel like anytime anyone's going through like a big transition or they're moving or anything like that, a lot of times they might come in talking about that. I might kind of work the small intestine meridian and they'll remark that like, oh, those points felt tender or things like that, or I'll kind of feel things on the channel. So I just sort of know that like, oh, that channel's been really active. And so in the small intestine sifting and sorting in our body, the small intestine, all the food that kind of came from the stomach and spleen gets sent down to the small intestine, and then it starts to sort of sift and sort it into like basically the kind of like turbid, dirty stuff and the clean nutrients and things like that. So there's also this sort of the spiritual message of the small intestine is sort of sorting through what is like true and what is real. And so if you pair it with sort of the heart meaning, the small intestine sort of helps your heart judge the like other people's hearts in a way. So like when someone says I'm sorry or someone says I love you, your small intestine is really kind of trying to discern how authentic or how real or how like you are sort of perceiving and whether you're going to sort of let that person into your heart boundaries. So that's some of the things that I think about with the small intestine meridian. How do you use it in your work, Billy James?
I actually, just like you said, like I really don't use the small intestine channel itself in order to treat the small intestine. I think that the small intestine channel I use for, like you mentioned, like arm pain. I also can use it for, it also controls this channel that helps open up the back. So I usually pair a point on the small intestine channel with a point on the opposite foot, and it helps open up the back. So if I'm going to treat someone for back pain, I usually will work that area. And there's also this really great point. I know that y'all have probably at some point slept wrong, woke up with a stiff neck. There's this amazing point that's like on the small intestine channel, like on the forearm, and it's called small intestine 6. And what I have this with patients all the time, they're always amazed that it works even just by pressing it. They'll come in with a stiff neck, unable to turn their neck, and then I press on SI6, small intestine 6, and then they're able magically able to rotate their head from side to side.
Whoa.
Yeah, and so it's just a powerful point.
Is that the one that's kind of like, it's almost like halfway up the forearm, and it's kind of like mm-hmm. in between the two muscles, you almost kind of...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so like for like torticollis.
Your elbow and your wrist on that sort of
yes.
bottom side.
Yeah, so it's on the ulnar side of your arm. So the radial side is where your thumb is, and then the ulnar side is where your pinky is.
Yes.
And so it's on that channel connecting right halfway about. You'll find the tender spot, but it's about halfway between your wrist and your elbow in that little fleshy area. And you just push around in there, and eventually you'll find it. And it's because that channel goes up the back of your arm into the shoulder blade and then up to your neck. So it's just a really great point. I use it a lot.
I do that. I'll use that one. And what I do is I sort of, sometimes I stimulate points where so I'm resting my arm on the finger. So rather than like digging my finger into the arm point, it's almost like I'm using my finger as a pivot, and then I kind of rest my arm, and then you can kind of, I don't know. It's just a different way of kind of pushing in that it plays with the balance a little bit. And so it's not mm-hmm. as much, you're just letting gravity kind of do the work, like most of the heavy lifting, I should say.
Which is great.
Yeah, exactly. It's also when you are doing sort of the small intestine channel points on the neck and shoulder, I'll do the same thing where I hold it down with my finger and then turn my head from right to left. So rather than like keeping my head still and working the point, I hold the point still and move the neck and shoulder around. And that kind of pushes the fascial tissue around in different ways and clears open the channel. The other thing, it's funny, whenever we prepare for an episode, I always just like jot down like what are random things that I associate with the small intestine, and the second thing that came to mind was the small intestine processes butyric acid, which is found in butter. So our small intestine likes us to eat butter. And I was all like, that's kind of a funny thing that I just have in a drawer in my brain, and I was all like, maybe I should do a little research and see if that's actually true. I mean, like, you know, like I'm sure I picked it up at some point, but I kind of wanted to dig in a little bit more. And it turns out that butyric acid is, it's a sort of a chain of like triglycerides that we do need an amino acid chain in our body. And it is pretty much found primarily in animal fat. And so I think it's one of those, the reason it stayed with me is because, you know, every once in a while there are people who, maybe I know people who were vegetarian for like years and years, even decades, and at some point they had sort of a nutritional deficiency and they had to start working some things into their diet that they weren't necessarily wanting to do. So for example, I have a friend who now has to eat tuna once a month, you know, just because they needed it to up certain things in their diet. And I do know some people that have it's that same thing that they were vegan, but they kind of went to vegetarian, but they really just only had like small amounts of yogurt or cultured dairy or things like that because they needed something in it. Like not only was it the probiotics, but I think it was related to the amino acids in it. So the small intestine does a lot of those like sifting and sorting of those micronutrients. So the stomach and spleen is almost like, here's just sort of the raw energy, and we're kind of like dividing things into the major categories. But the small intestine really has that sort of that ability to like to sort things on, you know, a molecular level, which is really cool. I think isn't the small intestine the one that's like 20 feet long or something like that in our body? Something ridiculous. Yeah. So the small intestine is about the smallness is more about the diameter. So the large intestine or the colon is shorter, but it's a wider tube, has a thicker diameter. But the small intestine is much tinier, but then that's the one whenever you look at the color cross section images of our bodies and you see our guts and it's all the twisted up guts, that's actually mostly our small intestine.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think I also remember reading when I was on an intense gut studying binge that a lot of times that our body does this cool thing where it like clears through, it sweeps through the small intestine. So after we're done digesting and we've had some time between meals and we're resting, it does like a sweep through the channel. And so sometimes that's some of the noises that we're hearing, the digestive noises or echoey noises, are actually, it's kind of like the little internal like squeegee is going through our small intestine and cleaning everything out. And that's why it's actually good to have periods of not eating for 6 to 8 hours, because we need to kind of have a gap that long between meals for that sort of natural mechanism to kick in. So if you've been eating every 4 hours for many, many days and many, many weeks, your small intestine might be kind of backed up and kind of clogged up and struggling with food absorption because you haven't been able to sort of naturally clean itself out. So.
Wow. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah. And it has some really, it's really sensitive too, that you can eat food that's made it all the way through your stomach and maybe even halfway through your small intestine, but then at some point it got detected as something was bad. So maybe like there was a virus or just, you know, whatever, something in it, something was rotten in a bad way. There's a system that can basically kick in and it will send it all the way back up the small intestine. It makes it just, no, I'm sorry, your body decides, are we going to send it back up and are they going to vomit it? Or are we going to send it down and is it going to be like diarrhea and it's going to come out? And so that's really fascinating to me to think about times where I have had something where I probably ate something that had either a virus in it or, you know, whatever in it. And you don't really notice it. And so like, it's almost like 6 hours later and you're like, what, I vomited and there's food and I don't understand. I ate like 6 hours ago. But that's what happened, is at some point your small intestine decided, oh, that's bad and we need to eject it. And they decided that it actually was more expeditious to send it all the way up, which is pretty amazing if you think about it, right? To eject things out all the way up or all the way down. So, but that's just cool stuff about the small intestine that still doesn't totally fit with the small, has nothing to do with the small intestine meridian. Just fun facts about the small intestine in general. Yeah. I get the other piece that I was thinking about is that, this is also a good time to sort of think about how we combine different meridians in different ways. So you were talking about you'll do a technique where you do like a small intestine point on the hand and then a one on the foot.
Bladder.
Okay. I was wondering if it was gonna be bladder, because I was gonna talk about Tai Yang, right? Which is what so we've been sort of we sketched out this image of the 12 meridians, and we've been talking about them paired based on the element, but the body's really interconnected, and we've talked about that too. And so there's also there's a language and a whole other sort of system of looking at the body that's related to these different ways of pairing the meridians. And so, this is sometimes called in traditional Chinese medicine, I was first introduced to this idea as the six levels. So there's these sort of six stages that disease sort of takes in the body. So there's the sort of more superficial, and then as it gets deeper down into the body, the disease gets more and more serious, right? So things that are on the surface of the body, like colds and flus, those don't tend to, obviously if they get really deep down in and infect us, they can
cause major problems. But the closer it is to the surface of the body in general, the better our body's chances are of being able to push it out and work through it and get back to a place of balance. And so that first level is the Tai Yang level. It's T-A-I and then Yang, Y-A-N-G. Sometimes translated as the greater Yang level. And so I was thinking about that, like I do kind of work that a lot when I work the body in the shiatsu session. When people are face down, I do stuff with, I work the back of the arm, I come up to the shoulder, and then I kind of connect with the bladder mm-hmm. channel and the back of the neck, and then work it down the back and work it down the back of the legs. And so to me, like I've really, that's something I sort of started really in the past maybe 4 years. So when I went to school for shiatsu, we were really just focused on like primary meridians. And then you kind of go out in the world and you kind of start to learn different techniques and different styles. And yeah. I started to learn about different channels. Like there's all these other different channels and multiple channels that are kind of on the same road. So kind of like, you know how you're on Highway 54, but then Highway 54 joins with Highway 151 for a while, and then Highway 72 all come. So there's at one point, like three highways are technically all on the same road. That happens a lot in the body too. So there's often, I think that's another way where I sort of use the small intestine channel as a way to sort of work the body from one end to the next. So you can kind of get a full body treatment by just kind of touching these two different meridians.
I love that idea of that you just mentioned about these like highways and stuff, and that the small intestine is such a good connector, because I feel like a lot of things get caught in the small intestine, like in terms of like, for example, it being even just a digestive connector. Like a lot of times when I'm working with the body, somebody has something like anxiety, or they're having something like a UTI, but they're also having, with that UTI, they're having a lot of anxiety and irritability and palpitations and insomnia. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of fire signs that are related to the small intestine. I will work with the small intestine as a way to transfer the heat that has been transferred from the heart to the small intestine that's causing the issue with the UTI. You're able to work with transferring that out of the small intestine into the bladder. You can transfer things out of the small intestine. And that's one of the, I feel like it's a really great tool in a way that I think I don't often look at this. I see the small intestine mostly as a channel.
Right.
As like very surface. But then once in a while, when I'm working on the points on the belly that are related to the small intestine, we call it in our medicine the front mu point, but it's the way that you're able to access the energy of the organ or the channel itself, but through the belly. And so it's right above the belly button. And so a lot of times when I have people coming in and they're like, I'm in a place in my life where I'm having a hard time making decisions, or I'm really bloated and gassy and, you know, I have a lot of damp and irritability, whatever, I will put a needle in above the belly button. And that's like this kind of way of helping the body to like sort out some of that stuff, whether it's like emotional or physical. That's one of the powerful points. It's not on the channel even, but it's a small intestine point, and I use it super regularly.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Yeah, it is such a good channel, like you said, for clearing like dampness and heat. Like, so like we were talking about the pain stuff, a lot of times pain is caused by stagnation, but there's other things that get stuck in the channel too. So if our channels are like our creeks, and so sometimes if the water is running low, or sometimes if there's a lot of mud and muck in it, it's kind of blocking things up. That's a lot of times how I think about it. And so small intestine has that access to fire energy. So that's why I think I always think of it as good as for like drying out that dampness. You can like send that fire and clear that fire down the channel. And the bladder is a meridian that it's paired with, and that Tai Yang pairing is a water element. So I think that's why it also feels like a very kind of a good basic elemental treatment to kind of work the Tai Yang, which is those two channels together, because then you're kind of doing that fire water balance, which is good for overall body balance, right?
And I also use the SI3 hand point for like ear stuff. So SI3 is like if you take your hand and you make a fist out of it and you look at your palm just where your pinky is, you'll see like that the crease of your hand creates this little thing that sticks out. Like a little fold in your skin sticks out of the side there. You see that?
I do.
If you just push that in right there, right up against the bone, that's SI3.
Okay. Yeah.
That's so good for like whiplash, you're dizzy, you have like some ear stuff going on, because that channel goes right up to the ear.
Yeah. I use the point, if you keep going down the channel towards your wrist and those like wrist crease points, I do that if I have wrist pain. That's a good one too, to kind of massage on that area. Does really great stuff for like carpal tunnel stuff or repetitive strain. I use
that. And how do you massage that?
So I like to sort of, gently pinch it between my thumb and the knuckle, of my index finger. And so it's almost like I'm kind of getting the heart and the small intestine points on both sides of the bottom of the wrist. And then I kind of do like a little shake. So I'm sort of like shaking my wrist out and shaking the, like pinching back and forth. So it's like so I feel like small intestine channel does really well with vibratory and shaking things and a little bit more yangy energy stuff. Like we were talking about, heart is the yin side of fire, and small intestine to start touching on the yang side, the more fiery start. So it's not like you have to be aggressive or hard. I'm never painful, but I'm maybe a little bit more like I'm going to sort of vibrate or tap or, you know, do that sort of stuff. And so, so that's what I kind of like to do that. But you can also just kind of push in with your thumb from the side too. So if you just kind of really kind of, you know, there's those lines on your wrist, and if you kind of go all the way to the side where it meets on that ulnar side, as you pointed out earlier, and there's actually all these little tiny bones kind of right where your wrist is. Your wrist is sort of this combination of like, is it like eight little strange trapezoid and spheroid little bones all kind of mashed together?
Yes.
And I'm always like, how do they even work? I don't even understand. But it also, it reminds me of those puppets where you like hit the butt, push, they're standing on a podium and you push the button underneath the podium and they just like collapse down. Like that's what it reminds me of, but anyway.
Totally.
Oh, excuse me. Speaking of, I was working that point and it's starting to work all the phlegm out of my channel.
Ooh.
Sexy.
Yeah, I've been working it too.
Oh, yeah. I'm recovering from a sinus infection and so I'm feeling better, but I'm still having all that residual stuff. I think I told a client today that I got my Kathleen Turner voice on. I'm glad we have a recording session today, Billy Janes.
Immortalize it.
That's right. Make use of it.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. Sifting.
I was
sorting.
Gonna say. Yeah. I was You're like, how did Kathleen Turner make it in?
How did we get here? That really should be the name of this podcast. How did we get here with Raymond and Billy Jane?
Oh, God. I thought you just meant the episode, but you meant the whole podcast. I love it.
Oh, no, that's good. Maybe I will be an episode title. That's just my life motto. How did I get here? Oh, goodness. All right. So there's probably not really an herb for the small intestine, is there? Do you really? It probably doesn't really come up too much. I mean, yeah, I did see, I was reading something about how a lot of small intestine health is related to like small intestine inflammation can be connected to congestive heart failure. So I just feel like a lot of the stuff that probably is good for digestion and stuff that's good for the heart is probably also good for the small intestine. But like,
why not?
Yeah. But like you said, it's not really the approach we take. Right. So,
I mean, we learn like in our education about herbal medicine, we learn a lot about this one formula called Dalcher-San, which is for specifically for UTIs where heart heat her heart fire transfers into the small intestine. And it's just one of those things that you learn. And so, you know, I'll have a patient who comes in with symptoms that match that. Like, they had been super irritable, insomnia, nightmares, anxiety. All of a sudden they get an UTI. I'm like, boo, that's the formula. Go for it. It'll do it.
Right.
But in terms of anything that I'm like consistently thinking about, like, we need to nourish your small intestine or, you know, like anything like that. No, I really don't. So if anything, maybe this is like good for me as a practitioner that I could pay more attention to see if perhaps this is an aspect that I can learn more about. You know what I mean? Because I feel like this is also part of the healing process, is like we have our blind spots, and when we're aware of them, it opens us up to being able to learn more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think this, even just us talking about how thinking of it as like such a connector. And I think in some ways, like, mm-hmm. I sort of take it for granted. And so it's like, I was sort of like, I don't know, I never use the small intestine. And then I started to think about it and I was like, oh no, I use the small intestine all the time. But I don't use it in exactly that same way. It doesn't come up quite as much like in conversations with clients, you know, yeah. Like as far as thinking about the sort of the spiritual aspect. I mean, really, yeah, it's just that sort of, it's really about, I think, decision-making related to your heart versus sort of decision-making related to your head, excuse me. So I feel like a lot of metal element is about like, which decision is best for this business plan or for how to approach this problem with whatever. Like, it's, so it's more about, you have to make a decision, but ultimately it's just about which path you want to take. And then small intestine decision making is really more about like, no, this is real and this is bad. So that's, I think that's why I was thinking about too. It's like, oh, we got to eject this out of our body right now. Or we accept this and we accept this and we absorb these nutrients into it. Yeah.
It's interesting that you say that too, because in terms of relating the small intestine as like a function of the heart in a way, is because, like, you know, it's, I think this is especially important for our listeners to know, is that these are all of these meridians and these things that we've given organ names to are actually functional processes in the body that are somewhat related to the organs, but they're not specifically the organs. So throwing the name small intestine onto the function that this meridian and its processes do, it may not always have the exact correlation to the small intestine. Like, in a similar way that in Chinese medicine, we talk about the earth elements, we talk about, you know, the spleen. And in our medicine, the spleen is this digestive function of, you know, how the wheel of our metabolizing processes kind of move, versus the way in Western medicine, how the spleen is viewed is as, you know, this burial ground for blood and this whole like different process. And so just to kind of throw that in there as well, that it, not everything is like tit for tat correlated. And so that's why I love what you said about the small intestine being like this heart function of, you know, decision, about checking for authenticity. Is this clarifying things? Like, that feels that feels really true to me.
Yeah, and because I think fire is sort of split into four different meridians too, it's sort of showing that there's a lot of different sort of functions, or almost maybe it's not so much that there's different functions for fire, but more that fire can function in different ways in the body, in that so there's the sort of moving things like that. So we've been talking about moving through the channel, but then when we get to talking about the pericardium, that's almost more about a boundary protective thing. And then we'll talk about the triple heater, which again goes back to circulation. So it's interesting to have me just sort of thinking about how all four of the different fire meridians kind of do slightly different fire as far as helping the mechanisms of the body, you know, move through. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Anything else that we want to mention? That I'm trying to think of any other uses of or fun small intestine facts that I might know.
I think for me, the biggest takeaway for the small intestine is that it's really great for treating pain in the back and the neck and anything like on the side of the neck or the side, you know, the side of the head.
Shoulder blade too, frozen shoulder can blade. Come in blade. Yep. Yeah, come in handy with that too, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, all right. Well, I think we're moving is bladder next week. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
pause for Googling.
Yeah. Right, we can edit that in, right?
Yep. You know it.
You know it.
Oh my gosh. Where is it? Yes. Yes, correct. So bladder, yes. So heart is 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then small intestine, oh yeah, we didn't cover that earlier. So small intestine time is the 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. time. So it's sort of the lunch eating and post lunch time or whatever. And then next week we're going to go to the bladder, which happens from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m.
Woohoo.
Yee-hoo. So yeah, so it goes fire and then we're going to move into water and then we'll come back to fire and then we're going to end on wood. Okay, great. Well, thank you for joining us for this episode and for tuning in to all of our other, this wild how did we get here journey of the body. If you go to healingwithraymondandbilly.com, there is a contact form, and there's also, I think we put, if you look up us, our email should be on there. So if you have any questions, like if we say, because I know sometimes we probably say stuff and we might be talking shop and we're trying to explain it, but we maybe don't explain it as well as we could have, or we left out some critical word that would have made it more clear. Please feel free to send any questions, or if you want us to kind of expand more on the topic, if we said something that maybe just kind of started to go somewhere and you would like us to dig a little bit deeper, please feel free to drop us a line. I'm also on Instagram at Mountains and Shiatsu. Billy is on there at Billy Jane's LAC. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Billy Jane.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I know. Billy Jane's LAC, right? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank you for listening to episode 6. I'm sorry I didn't get to play the Billy's Herbal Cornel theme song, but we're going to get back there for next week.
Yeah, not worried.
I'll pick some other special song to end this episode on. So thanks for listening, and we'll see y'all next time.
Bye.